yourself and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Are you ready for the word of the Lord tonight? I want to say something tonight. Can I have a family meeting tonight? Is that all right? Touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Do me a favor, just lean over to me. Come, lean over. Come on. Some of y'all ain't moved. Come, just do this. Come. Do you know what I mean, lean over? That means come over, bend over to me. That's it, you got it. These lot have a revelation. All of you ain't got the revelation yet. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to give you something that the Lord's been speaking to me about. It's a revelation that the Lord gave me, and I want to share it with you. And I want you to take some notes, because I'm going to be a little bit controversial, just a little bit. However, my dad taught me, don't you ever say anything. My father was a bishop. Don't you preach anything from the pulpit without confirming it in Scripture. So whatever I'm going to say to you tonight, I'm going to back it up by Scripture. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Amen. Stand to your feet. The book of Acts, if you will. Very familiar text. Acts chapter 16. And then we're going to verse number 16. It's a text you would have heard time and time again. But we believe that there's something great that God is going to speak to us about. When you found it, say amen. If you haven't found it, shout wait. Right. Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer. This is Luke giving a synopsis of what happened. A certain damsel, everybody say damsel. The word damsel means a slave girl. Possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That word soothsaying, she had the power to predict the future. Verse number 17 says, the same followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servant of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. The Bible says, and this did she for many days. Everybody say many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Everybody say the Spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Note verse 21. They are teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. It goes on to tell us, and I'm going to abbreviate because of time. The multitude rose up. They took them to the magistrate, stripped their clothes off. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and charged the jailer to keep them safely. The Bible says, because of the charge that he had, he put them in the inner prison and made their feet fast and in stocks. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. Touch your neighbor, say they heard them. And verse number 6 and last says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken. And immediately, not some of the doors, but all the doors were open. Doors are symbolic of opportunities. And everyone's bands was loose. It's one thing to have an opportunity, but it's another thing to be loose to walk into your opportunity. I want to make an announcement tonight. Whatever held you bound is about to free you tonight. That amen was too low for where I'm going. Whatever was restricting you, God says, I'm going to mess up foundations that was holding your doors. I'm messing up foundations that were trying to stop you from going into your miracle. Doors are symbolic of things you go into or things you come out of. Some of you are going into some things and some of you are coming out of some things. But I want to make the announcement tonight that the doors are open. Someone say the doors are open. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject. I want you to hear me. Taken from verse number 21. Verse 20 says, these men do exceedingly trouble our city and teach us customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. I want to talk to you on the subject tonight, changing the culture. Changing the culture. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, we're going to change the culture. All right, now this is what I need to you. The Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I want you to hear me intensively tonight because we're about to change some things. Father, I need you now. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Give us a word tonight that will change lives. Let burdens be removed, yokes be destroyed. In the name of Yeshua the Christ, we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way sitting down, look at your neighbor and say it real loud. Say, neighbor, we're going to change the culture. Whew. Are you all right? Can I just say something before I preach? I meant to say this. Bishop has been treating me so nice. The hospitality has been so good in action. I phoned my wife and I said to her, I was in the hotel that Bishop put me in. I told him no married man should be in a hotel like that by himself. You know, that's just the devil. That's the devil. I mean, the hotel was so nice. I said to my wife, darling, you should be here. So the hotel was so nice. Everything was so nice. I had to sleep so that I don't get myself in any trouble. Praise God. Would you thank God for Bishop and the hospitality of Action and all the wonderful people? God bless you. Changing the culture. I want to suggest something to you, and I want you to listen to me keenly. In my studies, I found out the Bible, when you read the Bible is about agriculture. Everything about the Bible is based on agriculture. I'm going to prove it to you. Everybody say agriculture. One of the things that I want to express to you that I believe, and I'm going to prove it to you, that the intent of God was that every one of us, he wanted us to be an agriculturalist. I think that was the mind of God, an agriculturalist. I've heard a lot of people and preachers and singers say things, and things like, we were created, God's intent for us, that he created us for worship. I want to beg to differ because in my study, in my extensive study, I've not found nowhere in the Bible where it said we were created for worship. Nowhere. I found that the Bible says we were created for his glory. Now, let's look at the etymology of words. Glory, from a Hebrew perspective, is the word kabod, where we get the word weight. It's splendor. It's majesty. Glory is not an expression of praise. Glory is simply trying to describe something that God does. The Greek word for glory is the word doxa. Everybody say doxa. My English language is birthed out of two languages. It's birthed out of Latin and it's birthed out of Greek. So anytime I want to find an equivalent word to understand from an English perspective what this word means, I consult the Greek or the Latin to try and understand. The word doxa, which is the Greek word for glory, means to think and to have an opinion of a thing. The word doxa means to think and to have an opinion of a thing. So, what is the word glory? The word glory simply is this. It is to think and to have an opinion when it comes to God, an opinion of God concerning a matter. Bishop, what do you mean by that? Let me just quickly get myself out of this. Anytime you hear the word glory, It is the wealth of God. It's the majestic side of God. It is the splendor of God. It's the weight of God. But it's also the opinion of God concerning a matter. How do I know that? Let's translate. Every time you hear the word glory, change it to the opinion of God. For example, arise, shine, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord and the opinion of God is risen upon thee. That didn't work. Let me try another one. The heavens declare the glory, no, the opinion of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Okay, that didn't work neither. Let me try another scripture. Moses said to God, show me your glory. He said, I can't show you the glory because anyone who sees that can't live. But he says, there's a side to me. When he said, show me the glory, he was saying, show me your opinion. Show me how you think. And then he says, all right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm showing you the back side of me. The back of a person is the past of a person. The front of a person is the future of the person. He says, what I'm going to show you is the back side of me. And whenever you see the back, I'm going to take you right back to Genesis and show you how creation started, even though you weren't there, because I'm showing you how I... You still don't believe me. I'm going to give you another one. Mary and Martha was angry with Jesus and said, Jesus, if you had come, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Jesus said, don't worry about it. This sickness is not unto death, but that the glory, no, that the opinion of God will be manifest. Well, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, the glory of God is the opinion of God concerning a matter. And ladies and gentlemen, whenever you're walking in the glory of God, you are not walking as a novice. You're walking in a realm where you understand who God really is. So, we were created for his glory. I digress. That's not really where I want to go. We were created for the opinion of God. We were created for his glory. We were created to think like God. But a lot of people want to say that we were created for worship. We could not be able to be created for worship because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does say he inhabits the praises of his people. In fact, correction, it doesn't say he inhabits the praises of his people. It says he inhabits the praises of Israel. And what it's actually saying is that God lives where people who praise him. Please don't leave here and say that I said it's not important for you to praise God. I didn't say that. I just said you weren't created for praise. And it's a good thing God didn't create you just to praise him, because if he did, he'd be in trouble. Because some of you ain't praising him and never had praising him since you got in here. God is not insecure that he had to create man to praise. Before man was on the earth, he had angels praising. So please, 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 don't get me wrong. It is important for you to praise him. He lives where people praise him. He comes down in your situation. So I don't want you to say, well, Bishop Francis said, you know, I don't have to praise the Lord anymore. I did not say that. I said the intent of God that he created you was not for worship. It is beneficial for you to worship him. It's beneficial for you to praise him. Things will happen for you when you praise him. Now, when I said this, I told you I'm going to be controversial, but it's cool. We're going to get out all right. Touch your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Now, some of you are going to be saying, and some people are watching me on stream, and say, now, Bishop Francis, you just messed up a whole lot of songs that we sing. You've messed up a whole lot of things that's out there, and I'm going to say to you, keep singing the song all you want. Songs don't have to be theologically right. Check the book of Psalms. A lot of the songs that we sing is not based upon theology, it's based upon how we feel. So don't shoot the messenger. But we're going to go some. So I want to ask the question then, what was the intent of God concerning creation. This is what Genesis says. The book of Genesis, you call it Genesis. Genesis, where we get the word genes and beginnings from. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, and God created man in his own image. God wanted someone to look like him. In the image of God created him, male and female. Look at someone say, I look like God. I'm created like God. So me and God has something in common. And this is what the Bible says here. And that God not only created us, but he blessed us. And then the Bible says he put a command on us to be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. That means control it. And have dominion. In other words, over the fish of the air and everything that moveth. God wanted every one of us to have dominion. Do you know what dominion means? It means to rule. Touch your neighbor, say, I'm in charge. Dominion, dominion. That's why when Jesus came, he preached the kingdom. Do you know what the kingdom means? The kingdom, the word dominion is an abbreviation of the kingdom. The word kingdom means sovereignty. It means God's rulership. Kingship and dominion means domain, which means rule. I come from the United Kingdom. And what's so great about the United Kingdom is that we used to control 3/4 of the world. And how did this small island that could get lost in Africa control 3/4 of the world? Why? Because they set up a kingdom mentality. You know what a kingdom mentality means? That we rule, we dominate, we control. I am in Ghana and I'm speaking English, yet still you have a native language. But because of kingdom, you are forced to not only learn your language, but my language. Because the thing about kingdom is we have a language that everyone all over the world has to submit to. Touch your neighbor and say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. I know you're looking at me. Oh, Lord. I'm going to have to work hard tonight, it looks like. Okay, everybody say, we were created to rule, dominate, subdue. Okay. So that was the intent of God. But I want to push it further, that I believe that God had in his mind for us to be agriculturalists. Because he did not create us for worship. Here's my proof why what he created us for. The Bible says this when you read in verse number 8 that the Lord had planted a garden in Eden, and he said that there was no man to till the ground. In fact, let me say how the scripture said. It said that God would not cause the rain to come because there was no man to till the ground. That sounds like an agriculturalist. All right, let me. All right, can I? Are you with me? Can you write a couple of things down? This is my introduction. My preacher's gonna come soon. And it's gonna be good. Just follow me. I know. Where is this British brother going? Just stay with me. Stay with me. Everybody say agriculture. The word agriculture is from the Latin. Agar, from the Latin A-G-E-R, but you call it agri, but it's agar. Agar means field. Are you with me on this? Agar means field, agri, and then the next word, culture. Everybody say culture. The word culture means ideas, customs, social behavior of a particular people of society. Are you with me on that? Okay. So God intended us to be an agriculturalist. An agriculturalist, agar, field, culture. The word culture, culture. Everybody say culture. Cult. You know what a cult is? You know, our problem is when we think of a cult, we think of someone who's negative. But the word cult means to take care of. But when you hear the word cult, you think of a group of people that control your mind. But the truth of the matter is, a cult can't control your mind until they first take care of you. What a cult does,
They bring you into their group. They start taking care of you, loving you, and bringing you all kinds of feelings that you've never had before. And the next thing, they move from a place from taking care of you till they take care of your mind. And then they make you stop thinking for yourself. But the word cult is not a negative word. The word cult simply means to take care of. Agriculture. Everybody say agriculture. So you got to understand that the intent of God is that we should be agriculturalists. Watch what the Bible says. There was no man to till the ground. There was no man to till the ground. So he decided, this is when he decided, I'm not going to let rain come. I'm not going to let rain come, because if rain comes, if you know anything about agriculture and there's no one to till the ground would be waterlogged. So the Bible says that God caused the mist to be in the garden. And when the mist was in the garden, he decided, right, I'm going to make Adam. And then when I make Adam, watch this, he says, now I'm going to let the rain come. That's a message all by itself. Because certain rains in Deuteronomy 28 is symbolic of blessings. Certain rain, certain blessings can't come until a man tills the ground. You were created, watch this, according to scripture, believe it or not, to take dominion, to be fruitful, to multiply, and watch this, to till the ground, to work, to be an agriculturalist. All right, okay. God loves agriculture so much. You know, the Bible's all about agriculture. It's about seed time and harvest while the earth remains. That's agriculture. Let me teach you something. Let me give you some information, and then I'm going to get with you because I can see you, your brain thinking. All right, watch this. Agriculture means to take care of. The word culture is a set of ideologies and customs and behaviors and languages. So anytime you have a culture, it comes with a behavior, it's an ideology, it's also a language. Everybody say a language. Okay, so whenever we're thinking of an agriculture is the science of practicing, of farming, including cultivation of the soil and growing of crops, rearing of animals, and provide food, wool, and other products. So everything in the Bible is based upon agriculture. Hence the reason when you hear about sacrifices, it's about lambs. You hear about sheep, agriculture. You hear about clothes, agriculture. You hear about seed, agriculture. You hear about this sower went to sow a seed, agriculture. The language of the Bible is based upon agriculture. God was so much into being an agriculturalist that he decided he wanted us to be an agriculturalist. He made us to be an agriculturalist, and our job was to go and till the ground and to plant things to make it work and produce. That was what God did. All right, let me just look at you. You know, God loved gardens. You know God loves gardens? God loved gardens so much. You know what he did? The first thing he did was made a garden. And what was that garden called? Eden. Then what did he do? He put man in the garden. Yeah, God loves garden. God loved garden. He loves garden so much. Trust me, he loves garden. God loves a garden. Yeah, he loves a garden. He loves a garden. He loves a garden to the point where whenever he came to earth as Jesus, his secret place was a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. God loves a garden so much that when Jesus resurrected from the grave, they thought he was a gardener, agriculturalist. All right, y'all don't believe me. Well, when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, there's two thieves on the cross. One said to him, if you're Jesus, come down and help me and save me and save yourself alongside. And the other one thief said, if you're Jesus, when you get in your kingdom, remember me. What did Jesus say? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Do you know what paradise is? A garden. So God is into gardens. That's why he calls his word his seed. That's why when he made man, he put man and he said, man, I'm going to give you seed. That when you meet a woman, your seed would fertilize her egg. Because everything in scripture is based upon agriculture. Everybody say agriculture. Agri-field culture. Culture. Everybody say culture. Culture. Customs, behavior. So then, the intent of God is that I'm supposed to be an agriculturalist. Let me explain why he wants you to be an agriculturalist. Because an agriculturalist knows how to take a seed and put it in the earth, water it, and make the seed become something it didn't know it was. It has the power, watch this, agriculture, to change the culture. Agri, cult, take care, culture, change the culture, change the environment. An agriculturalist knows that no matter what the culture looks like, he has the power to change it. Watch this. An agriculturalist does this. He says, I'm going to take a seed. I'm going to take a seed from Ghana. I'm going to take a seed that only supposed to grow in Ghana because the culture or the weather, the environment of Ghana is conducive for this seed. The seed cannot grow in England because it's too cold. The climate, the culture is not conducive. But an agriculturalist is not worried about the environment. Because an agriculturalist knows how to create its own environment. So what he does is, he says, I'm going to take a seed that normally doesn't grow in the UK because the climate and the culture is not conducive. But what I'm going to do is take the seed and put it in England, put it in the UK. But I'm going to put it in a greenhouse. Make the seed think it's in Ghana. Put heater in the greenhouse. Put a mist in the greenhouse. Change the environment, the culture of the greenhouse so that the seed thinks it's in Ghana when it's in the UK. And the seed. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you are a dangerous person when you become an agriculturalist. It means things don't change you. You change things. Oh, the devil's in trouble tonight. Pull your neighbor like you pull him out of the seat. Say, neighbor, I'm about to change the culture. It's my introduction. I'm going to preach in a minute. Can I go further? Can I really go further? I got something for you. Can I go? Everybody say, change the culture. Change the culture. One of the things about my country, the UK, how they controlled the world. Please go and look on the map and see how small England is. It will get lost in Africa. That's why Jesus said, when you preach, you must preach the kingdom. Because when you preach the kingdom, in order to have a kingdom mentality, you have to change the culture that was in the country. One of the things I found out what the English used to do when they went to a country and they wanted to change the culture, the first thing that they did was took gin, the drink, gin, and gave the natives the drink, got them happy, got them drunk, and then start taking their gold, start taking their wealth, and they were excited because wine and spirits has a way of changing. And then when they got them happy, all of a sudden the natives became open to hear what our forefathers were saying. And the next thing they started to do was set up schools and education and teach them the language. Because in every culture, there's a language. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, hey Kashama, when God wanted to change the culture in the earth in Acts chapter 2, the first thing he did, because what happens when you change the culture It means you have to change the environment. My church is called Ruach. It's the Hebrew word for spirit. It means the breath of God, the wind of God. That's the name of my church. It's Ruach City Church. It's the equivalent, the Greek is pneuma. It's the word for spirit. I met a rabbi, and when I met this rabbi, Pastor Paula, I was, Bishop Greta, I was trying to show off. He said to me, your church is Ruach HaKodesh. I went, yes. And I'm telling him, I goes, it means the breath of God, the wind of God. Like he didn't know, he's a rabbi. And I like rabbis because rabbis are smart. They let you talk. And when I was going, yes, the breath of God, the wind of God, he said, yes, it's the wind of God, the breath of God. But he says, it's also the atmosphere of God. And when he said that, I said, ooh. Then I realized that atmosphere has a whole lot to do before manifestation. I then realized God does not do nothing in the earth until the atmosphere is right. John, give me scripture for it. I've got one. In the beginning, God created the earth, heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon, that means void, chaos, darkness, obscurity. That was on the earth. Then it said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Ruach of God, moved upon the face of the waters. Remember Ruach, the breath of God, the wind of God. Remember what the rabbi said, the atmosphere of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. He did not speak until there was an atmosphere. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how you're smart and intelligent. If you go to an interview and the atmosphere is not right, you can end up being stupid even though you're intelligent, because atmosphere has a whole lot to do with manifestation. Could it be the atmosphere is not right? Do you not know that God does not do anything until he creates an atmosphere? He does not let speech comes until atmosphere is set. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were one accord, one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Atmosphere. Filled the house where they were sitting. Atmosphere. Atmosphere started to change. Then they began to speak in tongues. Tongues didn't come first. Atmosphere came first. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see things happen, you've got to first learn to. That is why, ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, it's a terrible thing to sit down next to somebody who has no atmosphere. If you sit down next to somebody who doesn't believe in changing the atmosphere, they'll get on your nerves all through the service. They'll look you up and down. Every time you jump up, they look you like you're crazy. Oh my God. Look at no music. I'm an agriculturalist. Say to your neighbor, I'm an agriculturalist. I don't run away from things. I was created to dominate. I was created to rule. And if the environment, somebody's about to get a miracle before you leave here. Somebody that's watching. That's why, can I talk to you pastors over here, some of you pastors over here. Can I tell you something? Your biggest problem is not with your sermon. Your biggest problem is not with your study. You can have a good message, but if the atmosphere is not right, I don't care how good your message is. Hey, say atmosphere. God, hear me when I said, he does not create anything until the Spirit of God moves over the face of the waters, over the thing that's void, over the thing that's chaotic, over the thing that is dark. The Spirit of the Lord moves over it. The atmosphere, he says, I'm going to change this atmosphere. I'm going to be an agriculturalist. I'm going to make the atmosphere change. Even though outside is cold, in the greenhouse, I'm going to make it be hot, because I'm an agriculturalist. And when you start changing the agriculture and you start changing the atmosphere, Everything that's void, everything that's dark has to change when you open up your mouth and says, let there be light. Do me a favor, touch about three people, give them a high five and say, change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Don't talk until the atmosphere's changed. Don't sing until the atmosphere's changed. Don't praise until, in fact, praise will change the atmosphere. Be seated. Y'all making me hot. It's my introduction. Can I preach now? No, seriously, that's an introduction. I'm going to preach now. My preach ain't long. Somebody say, I am an agriculturalist. I was designed to be a gardener. It now brings me to the text. The Bible says that Paul and Silas were on their way to pray. And the text says they come into an environment where a woman, a slave girl, starts to say to them and everyone, these men are the servants of the Most High God who show us the way. Note the text. It happened when they went to prayer. Prayer has a way of changing the atmosphere. The Bible says as they went to prayer, this woman followed them for many days and said, these men are servants of the Most High who show us the way of salvation. Yeah. And she did it for many days. And the Bible says that there was a point where Paul had enough. And he then turns around and speaks, watch the text, not to the girl, but to the spirit, the atmosphere. He said, I command you to come out of her in the name of Jesus. Can I preach this? What the girl was saying about them was truth. But the spirit she was working from was the problem. What do you do when something's right, but it's wrong? Let me come up here, because I like to come up here. How do you deal with something that you know it's wrong, but it sounds right? It is very difficult, ladies and gentlemen, to come against something that sounds right that's wrong. Because for you to say it's wrong and everybody else heard that it sounds right makes you look like the fool. Because you got to learn, when you're dealing with spiritual things, most of the people who say they like you, they really don't like you. Oh, some of you couldn't shout because you're next to them right now. I know you couldn't shout because you're next to them right now. But if you're delivered, I'll shout right now. I don't listen to what people say. I listen to the spirit in which they said it. Are you with me on this? He knew the spirit in which she was operating, although what she said was right, was of another source. And so the text says, I want you to get this. This blew me. The text says that when he decided enough was enough. Because ladies and gentlemen, there comes a moment in your life where you will know enough is enough. He said, come out of her. And the Bible says the same hour she got delivered. And then watch what happens. When the people who was using the girl found that the economy crashed because they were making money from her. When they noticed their gains were gone, they start to get upset. Note this. They're now mad because the girl is delivered. There are some people who don't want you to be delivered because it's financially lucrative to keep you bound. All right, let me speak like I really want to speak now. Can I speak to Africa? I need to speak to Africa now. There are some countries that don't want Africa to be delivered. Because you have too much wealth too much minerals, too much. Oh God, don't let me preach it. I need to say it in Africa. Can I preach like I want to? Africa is not broke. You are the most wealthiest country in the world. But there are people that does not want to see Africa free. They wanted to stay in slavery because it's lucrative. Pull your neighbor, say, neighbor, you're coming out tonight. In fact, not just you're coming out, your wife coming out, your children's coming out, your cat's coming out, your dog's coming out. Everyone's connected to you. I need about 100 people to scream and shout like you're losing your mind. Sit down. Let's keep Africa corrupt. Let's let the wealth stay in one corner and not disperse it. Let's not allow Africa to produce. Because if they produce, they would be ahead of the world. So it's important for you to stay in slavery because it helps the economy. You know what? Can I say something? I don't care. I'm going home tomorrow. I'm going to preach what I need to say. I'm going to preach it. Archbishop's given me permission, and I'm going to shut down every devil, because after this week, you're going to have real impact. You're going to see God move on your behalf. Somebody ought to change the culture. No, you didn't say it with power. Look at your neighbor and say it like a preacher. Say, change the culture. You don't need nobody to lay hands on you. You don't need nobody to pray over you. All you need to do is change the culture. Sit 10 more minutes and I'll be out your way. Can I preach it? Y'all don't want me to preach it. Can I preach it? The text says, watch, it's now legal. It's gone legal. Touch your neighbor, says, this thing's gone legal now. When her master saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas, drew them in the mouth. Because let me tell you something. People can't affect you unless they have an atmosphere created that is negative to pull you down. So what they do is a person can't affect you by themselves, you know. Misery needs crowd. So what they do is go to the marketplace where there's people to set an atmosphere that's conducive for your demise. So they dragged them into the marketplace because they knew they couldn't change anything on their own. They needed a crowd. But I come against every negative crowd. I come against everything that's trying to stop your destiny, trying to stop your deliverance. Who am I preaching to in here? Sit. I'm almost there. They dragged them into the marketplace. Watch this. It's going higher now, higher level, to the rulers. And then it went legal. They took him to the magistrate and said, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. Wait a second. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a second. They trouble the city? Wait a minute. They cast the devil out of one girl. One girl. One girl. And it was equal to a whole city. Could it be there's just one demon we need to destroy? Could it be there's just one spirit we need to shut down so that Ghana can be free? Who am I? Nikki, I'm getting ready to preach now. Can I preach? This is what they said. They said, these men, watch the language, do exceedingly trouble our city. The whole city got disturbed when they cast the devil out of one girl. The Bible says, next verse, not only did they trouble our city, but they have been teaching us customs. Oh, wait a minute, customs. Let me go back to my notes. Everybody say customs. Somebody say customs. Do you know what that customs word come from? Culture. The idea of customs, social behavior to a particular people of society. Customs. Customs, they're teaching us customs we're not used to. We being Romans are not used to the custom. The behavior has changed. The language has changed. Because anytime you're an agriculturalist, you change the culture. And with changing the culture, you change the custom. All right, I'm ready to preach. So the Bible says, we're not used to this. Because these agriculturalists have come into our city and changed the culture. Things we're not used to. Things we're not used to. Things we have not heard before. Now we're lost. Because the demonic spirit that controlled our city has now shifted. Can I preach like I want to now? Oh, look at someone say, change the culture, change the culture. So the Bible says, you know the text, they decided to whip them, strip them, and then they put them in prison. The Bible says, not just of the outward, they put them in a prison. It means they had to go through several gates to get to the prison. Not only did they do that, they bound them and chained them. But the culture had already changed. Look at someone say, the culture's already changed. Can I make the announcement? I don't care what the devil has planned for you. I don't care what the devil has already done to you. The culture has changed. Look at somebody say, yeah. Pull your neighbor, say, neighbor, the culture's changed. So the Bible said they put them in prison. And while they put them in prison, Paul and Silas said, we're going to change the culture in the prison. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray. Look at your neighbor, say, prayer changes things. They began to sing praises unto God. I found out when you pray, you change. You are a method. Still, at midnight, Paul and Silas said, we're going to sing praises. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. Because one of the things that helps to change the culture, when you're changing a culture of a country, you enforce a language. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, your, can I tell you what they I feel the Holy Ghost. Can I come up here? I feel like a miracle is about to happen for somebody. I dare you, open your mouth, shout. Shout! Hold on, Nikki. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Look at me, Nikki. Say, neighbor. You're dangerous when you open your mouth. Because death and life is in the power of your tongue. That's why when you come to church, the devil don't want you to open your mouth, because he knows when you open up your mouth, you change the atmosphere. You change the culture. I need somebody to scream and praise like a loon. Hey! Oh, my. Someone say, change the culture. Change the culture. The Bible said they sang praises. They opened their mouth. Then there came an earthquake. Can I stop in here to tell you? Everything that was holding up your door, everything that was opening, holding up your access, God has released an earthquake. Did you hear what I said? Get ready for doors to open that was closed for years. Get ready for things to happen that you didn't see happen for years. I need about 100 people. That's all I need to just scream, shout. Hey! I'm almost done. One more thing. The Bible said, they said, these men, give me the scripture, do exceedingly trouble our city. And they're teaching us customs. Everybody say customs. If you ever come to England or America, you come off the plane. When you come off the plane, you got to go first and meet immigration. And immigration wants to know why you're here, how long you're going to be here. And they ask a whole bunch of questions. Take your finger, tell you look in the mirror, look at the camera, rather, take a picture of you, because we're clocking you. The reason why they're doing it, because you're a foreigner coming into another culture. Then you think you're cool. You go to baggage, pick up your bag, and say, good, I got through immigration, but there's another one to go to. It's called customs. Now watch customs. There are two things that customs worried about. Two things. The first thing they ask you, how much money are you bringing in the country? Because money has a whole lot to do with changing the culture. That is why Ghana, they are stopping Africa from being financially successful, because money has a whole lot to do with how your culture succeeds. So they want you to come into the country with money, but they don't want you to come in with too much money, because they want to know where your money comes from, and they're worried every country that when you're taking money out of the country, bringing it into another country, you affect the culture of the country you come from. Number one. The next thing, number two, they're worried when you go to customs is this. They ask you, have you brought any fruit, any plants, any vegetables? That sounds like agriculture to me. I'm thinking, why are you worried about me carrying a plant, a fruit, seeds into your country? They say they don't know where your seed came from. They don't know where your plant come from. And they're scared because if it comes into their country, it can affect the culture of the food system. So they check you at customs to find out what you're carrying into the country. I stopped by here to tell you, the Holy Ghost has a checklist. You all ain't hearing me tonight. I said the Holy Ghost has a checklist saying after this conference, no demon in hell is going to cross customs and bring in any strange thing. Because God says, I've already opened the door. Now look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, your door is open. I'm done. But pull your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, change the culture. That means if anything that's in your life that you don't want, you change it. Tell the devil, this is the last day. I go through what I'm going through. I change my house. I change my church. I change my ministry. In fact, grab a hold of your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're about change everything on this row. We're about to speak it right now. Your children are about to be saved. Your family is about to be saved. Your miracle is about to happen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got 60 seconds to open your mouth and decree what you want to happen, because you're about to change the culture. 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, come on. Amen. Look at me, 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 look at me. Look at me. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody's about to get their miracle right now. I hear in my spirit something's about to turn on your behalf. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, this next prayer that's coming out of your mouth is to release every opportunity that you're supposed to have in this lifetime. Doors that were closed because of demonic powers. Doors that were closed because of generational sacrifices. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we break every power. Lamandakobo. Open your mouth loud, 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 loud. Come on, break it, break it, break it. I said I need to hear you. Come on, come on, come on. It's shifting now. It's shifting now. I hear the Holy Ghost say it's shifting now. I don't hear you. I said it's shifting now. In Jesus' name. Elabakasa. Mundalebashiyalaha. Kilananandayabosha. Lamandiyabosatalananda. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil's in trouble. Now you have prayed. Now you have prayed. It's time to praise. Listen to what the scripture said. When they began to pray and they began to sing praises unto the Lord, suddenly, immediately rather, someone say immediately. That response was too low for me right now. I said immediately. Let me try that one more time. Something is going to find you that's been looking for you. Everybody on the balcony way out there, those of you watching me in your house, on stream, on television, hear me, thus said the Lord. I want you to say immediately. Still too low, still too low. Let me tell you something, let me tell you something, let me tell you something. When the devil was messing with you, he didn't do it quiet. When he embarrassed you, he didn't do it quiet. He did it public. Some of you have gone through shame. Some of you have gone through things that you don't even want people to know what you've gone through. But tonight, this is the last night. Now watch me. Watch me tonight. This release that's coming out your mouth cannot be quiet. I don't want you know, hallelujah, yes, look, no. When he took your stuff, he wanted everybody to know. Now I'm going to praise God in the face of the devil. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you don't want nothing, if you don't want no blessings, if you don't want no restoration, sit down and be quiet. Fold your arms. Shut your mouth. But if you want a breakthrough within 24 hours, scream like you're losing. ready to shout, Nikki. I'm ready to shout. Nikki, don't stop. Hold on. Some of you still ain't praising God. But if I told you that within 24 hours, things that were closed are about to open up, show me how you're praising. Show me how you're praising. Show me how you're praising. Shout. Shout. Praising got to do with changing the culture. Can I tell you? When you shout, your voice goes into the atmosphere. Hold on. Nikki, hold on. Me that there are different frequencies, different waves. Science tell me that sound can go where you can't go. Science tell me that when you open your mouth, it goes in sound waves. Sound is measured by waves. That's why Jesus, when he went to preach in the Bible, he always preached by the waters. So, because they didn't have amplification, he preached by the water so that his voice would be carried by the waves. That's why sound is measured by waves. And the Bible said that Satan is the prince of the air. So when I shout, I interrupt the atmosphere. When I shout, every demonic power. You better shout. Hold on. That's why when you come to church, the devil don't want you to open up your mouth. That's why when you come to church and you start to shout, you got some person next to you looking you up and down as if to say, shut up. Well, let me tell that person, if you can change my situation, then I'll shut up. But if you can't, I'm gonna shout to the one who can. Shout, nigga! One more. Can I prophesy? Y'all didn't shout loud enough. Can I prophesy? On the balcony, can I prophesy? Over here, can I prophesy? This next shout, it's not for you. It's for your family. It's for your promotion. It's for your business. It's for your ministry. Now watch this. You're gonna say, how is my shout gonna help my family? They're not here. Here's what the Bible says. When they praise, all who heard the praise, they didn't have to praise with you. They didn't have to shout with you. All they have to do is hear it. And when they heard it, their chains came off. Everybody in here, you got 60 seconds. Nikki, give me a praise music. I feel like I want to go crazy now. Shh, hold on. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you ready to shout for your neighbor, for your family, whatever chain, whatever generational chain on their life?
is coming off now. Shout.
This 2016 Impact Conference, this 2016 Impact Conference, the Holy Ghost is going to do something like you've never seen done before. Whoa, whoa, victory belongs to Jesus, victory belongs to Him. Everybody, come on. Whoa.
Victory belongs to Him.
to read along to him.
Lift your hands, lift your hands, lift your hands. I'm going to hand the mic. Ghana, I will be back. And when I come back, there will be a barrage of testimonies. People who fought against demonic powers that were stubborn. Doors that were closed in your bloodline for years are supernaturally going to open. Why? Things don't change me. I change things.
Blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road, or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today, and may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.